now.
I don't know who he is behind that mask of his, but I do know when we need him. And we need him now.
I'll call him, sir.
For some reason, cool bars in Hollywood have to be hard to find and have no sign.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
A look at the life of Zsa Zsa Gabor and an interview from Lee Bailey in the 1960s, Swank Advice on the importance of the RSVP. Plus, a look at the Walter Swank gig guide. Right now, Bobby Shue and Bags Groove on the Cocktail Nation.
Thank you.
This is the Cocktail Nation. Thanks to ultraswank.net.
Cocktail Nation with Dave Bell's session at Pete's Pad. What's going on there, Dave?
The Cocktail Nation.
This week we take a look at the world of Zsa Zsa Gabor, the Hungarian actress, late great Hungarian actress, who's parodying glamour and revolving door marriages to millionaires, put a luster of American celebrity on a long but only modestly successful career in movies and television. She died at the age of 99 after being incapacitated for many years. Married at least 8 times, calling everyone darling, flaunting her diamonds and furs and lifestyle, vetted by gossip columnists and tabloid headline writers. Ms. Gabor played the coiffed platinum femme fatale in plunging necklines in dozens of film and television roles, many of them cameos as herself. Her career, which began with the title of Miss Hungary in 1936, was still going strong until the 1990s, outlasting those of her sisters Eva and Magda, who were celebrities in their own right, and she was the last surviving Gabor sister. Ms. Gabor appeared in more than 60 television movies, feature films, mostly American-made, although some were Italian, French, German, and even Australian. And critics said her best roles were her early ones in Moulin Rouge in 1952, Lily in 1953, and she appeared as a nightclub manager in Orson Welles' 1958 classic Touch of Evil, and the same year as the sexy alien in Queen of Outer Space, a camp favourite about virile American astronauts landing on a planet populated by scantily clad women. Now we know what influences NASA to boldly go where no man has gone before. From the 1950s to the 1990s, she was also on scores of television programs, talk shows, game shows, comedy specials and westerns and various dramas. Even in the 1960s series of Batman, she played the gold-digging Minerva, whose mineral spa fleeced swells by extracting secrets from their brains. Here's an interesting interview that she did back in the mid-1960s with Lee Bailey.
The Cocktail Nation.
You know, we were admiring this view out here a little while ago, Zsa Zsa. Who lives
around? Isn't that fantastic view? Well, I have all kind of exciting neighbors. First of all, down here lives Nancy Sinatra. And, you know, it's very interesting. Remember a couple of years ago when the terrible kidnapping took place?
Oh, yes, the boy, yeah.
Well, all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, around 2 o'clock, we saw lights going on, television cameras, and I was sure that the boy was found. So I knew it sooner than any press or anything.
You have a pretty lovely swimming pool down there. Do you
want
in
to come downstairs and take a swim with me? It's just the weather for
I could be talked into that without too much trouble. I didn't bring a bathing suit,
Don't
though.
Don't worry. First of all, we have all the shrubbery, and then I have all other kind of sizes of swimming trunks.
I see. Tell me, is that the only kind of exercise that you indulge in, or do you do some other things?
Of course not. I do all kinds. I play polo.
You play polo?
I fence. I play ping pong. I play tennis. I love all exercise. Yes, I do play polo. I learned it in Paris.
Who taught you to play polo?
Well, an old friend of mine, Ruby Rose, I don't know if
you
know about
yes, him. Yes. You know, I read that book about you by Gerald Frank, was it not?
We wrote it together,
yes. I'm sorry, with Gerald Frank.
With Gerald Frank, yes.
And
yes.
You never married Ruby Rose, did you?
No, I was afraid to marry him, even though he was a wonderful person.
Why were you afraid?
I don't know. Yeah. Even though I should have married him, I don't know. Let's not talk about who I didn't marry. Let's not even talk about who I married.
Okay, we'll do that. You used to have another home around here somewhere, as I recall. Didn't it burn down?
I had a beautiful home, yes, a couple of years ago. Remember the big Bel Air fire?
Yes, I do.
And I was just in London with a couple of suitcases, a couple of 12 suitcases, and left this gorgeous house covered with antiques and paintings and all the things, you know, what one collects, letters one likes, and, I don't know, photos and everything. And I come back and there was nothing but ashes.
I hope you had it insured.
Well, first of all, you can't insure all the things that you keep for a lifetime, but it was not, the inside was not insured. And so I had a big loss.
It was a delightful homecoming, wasn't it?
It was a terrible homecoming, and I adored that house. It was a passion. It was quite close here.
Well, this is a pretty nice house as it stands. How many rooms have you got in here, do you know?
I don't know how many rooms I have. I even have a nightclub in here.
Do you think that you could find a smaller place that you
could
quite as much?
I could never like a smaller house that much. Anyhow, a smaller house is very expensive.
Well, you're way up here. Very expensive, sure. You're way up here in a hill all alone. You ever get lonesome?
Often, yes. All of us get lonesome. I think only very stupid people don't get lonesome.
Very, very lovely living room, Georgia. Did you decorate this yourself?
Yes, I did. I love to decorate. I think if I wouldn't be an actress and a mother and all other things, I would probably become a decorator.
You got an awful lot of pictures here on the piano. Are you a sentimental type?
Well, of course I'm sentimental. All actresses are sentimental. Did you ever see one who isn't?
No, I haven't met one yet. Who are some of the people in these pictures?
Well, this is my darling, wonderful father, who I adored and adore. He's dead 2 years ago. He died. You see, all his medals. Mother used to joke about him. She used to say that all the medals he bought, and it's not true because he won them in the war.
He's got a lot of them.
Yes, he does. And this is my mother.
How long
beautiful.
Ago was that taken?
Not so long ago. Isn't that fantastic? She looks absolutely fantastic.
That's your mother?
That is my mother. Well, there you are. You have to meet her. She lives in New York. This is Francesca when she was little and much, much less problems. And this is one of my favorite pictures of my very first picture, Moulin Rouge. I hope you saw it.
I did
if
see
no,
it.
You did not see it?
Of course I saw it.
Well, that's Moulin Rouge. And then there is Conrad Hilton's picture. There's a beggar Mugger Khan, who's a very good friend of mine. There's a picture of Magda and her husband. There's Francesca again, small with me in the house, which burned. Not a nice picture.
How long ago was that taken?
Well, that was quite a while ago. Francie's about 3 years old.
Notice you got some trophies over here, Zsa Zsa. What are these all about?
Oh, well, I have different trophies. I had much more, but, you know, they burned in the house. Well, this, for example, is for the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, the most glamorous award, actress award in the world. 5 times in a row I won it. Isn't that wonderful?
I can see why.
This is from the Alliance Française. I got it last year. This is City of Hope. And this I'm rather proud of. I was chosen the Woman of the Year in Cleveland by the Hungarian Communauté of... I can't read it even. And it was a wonderful trophy. Award.
What's this great big one here? This is a rather impressive.
This is not mine. This belongs to my dog, Franz Joseph. You know, I have a beautiful Hungarian hunting dog.
It's the dog's trophy?
Uh-huh. Well, listen, he has much more trophies than I have. He's 51 times best in breed. His name is Franz Joseph. And once he didn't win an award, he came home and you couldn't talk to him for 2 weeks. He was sulking. He didn't want to eat.
A stuffy dog.
Well, but he's a wonderful dog, though. He brought me more silver home than any of my husbands ever did.
How about showing me some of the art collection you're talking about earlier?
I love to. Come along, darling. Come, Lee, darling, I want to show you some of my prized possessions. How do you like this Renoir's?
I like the bathing suits those girls are wearing.
You do? Don't you think they're a little bit fat in comparison of today's women?
A little bit fat, yes.
Isn't that charming, though?
That's a very charming painting.
And this I want you to see. This is one of my prized possessions. This is an ice bucket, you know, ice cooler. It's from London. It's from Asbury's. It's George II. It's antique, and it's well-made. And imagine how I got it. I went into Asbury's, which is one of the swankest and chicest shops in London, and I loved it. This is a pair. I have two of them. And I said, well, I love them. This is Miskabo. You can't have them. The Queen of England is bidding for them. So me as a damn fool, I bought them, and here I am.
You outbid the Queen of England?
I think so.
You mean she couldn't afford it and you could?
I'm sure she could afford it and I couldn't, but I bought them.
Yeah.
Now, here's a bust of Abraham Lincoln, which I also found in London. It's done by an American artist, Joe Davidson. And I think, on the other hand, here I made a fantastic goodbye, and it's just beautiful. He's really one of my favorite Americans.
Well, you used to be a painter yourself, as I recall. Didn't you do some painting?
Yes, and I love to do paintings.
Do you still have them around?
No. You know, I had about 27 in my other house before it burned. When it burned, I sort of didn't paint since. But I think I'm going to start it again.
Well, when you do, you let me see them.
Oh, you can come and see my paintings then.
Good. You now owe me one bath and one view
One bath and one view of painting. Yes.
Okay, I'll remember that. That's a very pretty fireplace you're sitting in front of. Is that just an ornament, or do you burn fires?
Nothing in this house is just an ornament. Of course you burn fires, and I love a fireplace. Nothing is more exciting than a nice violin music, candlelight, and a burning fire in a house.
Yes, that is probably the prettiest painting that I've seen in this house.
Now, thank you, darling.
That's you, but who's with you?
That's my daughter. That was painted a couple of years ago. That was actually painted before the fire, but I had a little apartment in New York, and I had some of the French furnishings in the apartment. Thank God that painting, so it's still here. How do you like my bedroom?
I like your bedroom very much, and I especially like that bed. Where did that come from?
This is an exact copy of Emperatrice Josephine's. Isn't that great? Come and sit down.
Oh, thank you. This mattress is pretty firm.
Well,
Josephine's mattress like this?
How should I know? I was never married to Napoleon.
Oh, you weren't?
No. For the joke.
What's all this canopy overhead about?
Well, you know, in the old days, people wanted much more privacy. So, you know, these curtains, they close. You just open the little bolster and they close. And then you were really private.
I see. Tell me something, John. Do you think this bedroom adequately expresses your personality?
Well, of course it does. It's blue and green. Sometimes I'm blue and most of the time I'm green. No, but really, seriously, it's French. It's beautiful. Everything is done lovely in it. It's terribly impractical and the bed is too small.
Too small?
Uh-huh.
Well,
I have another bedroom next
door. Oh, I see. Why do you have two?
Well, you know, it's better if a husband and wife don't sleep in the same bedroom. The woman can keep her privacy and she can be mysterious. And after all, it's not that far away.
Do you think that's part of the key to success?
What success are you talking about? In Europe, people do believe that a woman should have her own bedroom.
Well, I think there's a lot to argue for, that
position. You know, once in my life when I was married to George Saunders, he only had one bedroom, but he had another house, and he had a bedroom there, and sometimes, really, the nights were cold to walk that far.
I see. Different buildings?
Different. He was in Beverly Hills, and I was in Bel Air.
Well, what about twin beds? I gather you don't believe in those.
I don't believe. They're too small. They're really uncomfortable, and I don't know. I don't like them.
I see.
I like big, large bed.
I think we should pass that right there. I'll see how much time you spend here.
In my bedroom, well, you know, I'm a very hard-working
woman. No, I mean in the house.
In the house, well, I travel all around the world. Not as much as I should, or not as much as it cost me, really. I would like to spend a little more time in it. I just got back from Chicago, as you know. I was playing 2 months in a play called Bly Spirit, and it was really a wonderful experience. I just got back about 3 weeks ago.
That play, by the way, did very well. You got rave notices and packed houses, and I don't think...
He broke everybody's record. But people never talk about me when I achieve something as an actress. They always talk about me when I make a funny remark on a television show. But when I'm really serious actress and work, they just sort of forget it.
Do you think all of this wit and charm and glamour is a disadvantage in your theatrical career?
Oh, you're so sweet. What a lovely compliment. Thank you, Lee. Well, I don't know. I think they expect an actress to be sort of very, very serious, which I am, but I don't think the whole world has to always see your serious side. They should always see you sort of gay, unhappy. It's nobody's business how you really feel inside.
Well, at times it is and at times it isn't. What do you really think is the secret of your success with men? Because you have it, there's no question about it.
You think so?
I'm here to report faithfully that you do have it. But why?
Well,
Where did it come from?
Mainly, if you talk about success with my ex-husband, it's because I never in my life asked for any alimony. Now, of course, in Europe, they think that is a big gesture. Here, some of my friends think I'm a fool.
What about some glamorous men? Do you know any? Any you admire and respect?
Well, yes. If you speak about glamorous and sexy men, you know, I always...
Now, let's start with the sexy ones.
Well, I think one of the most sexy men, I don't know him that well, I just think he is Marlon Brando.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think Steve McQueen seems to me very sexy, and I'm sure Frank Sinatra. I'm sure you are a very sexy and glamorous man.
You've heard of the Fifth Amendment.
Yes, all right. Don't you say
I'm
a word. Then, of course, you know, it's very funny. About 3 weeks ago on a television show, they asked me the same question, and I said that Governor Romney is a very sexy-looking man. And I only saw his pictures. I just came from Chicago, and he's very photogenic. And then a friend of mine sent me an article where they interviewed him, what is his opinion about my remark. And he said, well, I only want to be sexy for one woman, and that's my wife, which wasn't the most diplomatic thing to say. But I think that his wife must have brainwashed him.
Oh, do you think so?
Well, how can a man say such a thing?
He seems to be getting brainwashed frequently these days.
He does.
Let me ask you something. Is this the first time in your life that you've paid a man a compliment and he pretended not to
but
care?
Because
I'm sure he did.
The first time in my life that a man came back with an answer like this, I must say I was a little bit hurt because after all, I said he's glamorous and sexy. He looks like that. And I think a man should be rather flattered when a woman says that.
Yeah, well, he's a good-looking fellow.
Very good-looking man, yes.
Well, I think that we should continue this conversation. I have just one little problem.
What is it?
I do have to go back to the East Coast.
I don't see why you're in such a hurry.
It pains me to go back. And it has been the most exciting and charming half hour, and if I had it in my power to continue on, I would do so.
Well, come back soon, and thank you so very much to visit my house.
Broadcasting across the globe with Copper, this is the Cocktail Nation.
The Cocktail Nation, music for your jet set lifestyle.
Cocteau Nation with Ixtahula there and Temple of the Snake God. That's from their brand new album Call of the Islands. Pat Longo before that and Come What May. On the Cocteau Nation website, over in the World of Swank Gig Guide, got some details on a Kickstarter all about Tura Santana that is up and running at the moment. The B-grade pin-up star and movie star. And they're trying to get a documentary together on her life. So if you'd like to find out some more details on that, well, just head over to the World of Swank Gig Guide. We've got all the details there for you. And if you'd like to be part of this Kickstarter, here's Herbie Harvey now. And let's fall in love on the Cocteau Nation.
Hi, what do you want?
This is the Cocteau Nation.
Thank you.
Cocktail Nation with R. Pepper and the Walkin' Out Blues. Coop Cooper, Lounge Lothario, with lots of books in my bookstore that you might like to grab. Two Cocktail Nation interview books, Licato Prince, Accidental Assassin fiction book, and most recently, the Swank Advice book, which you'll find in the Apple iBook store. All linked on my website, cocktailnation.net.
Swank. 10 times more addictive than marijuana.
Swank Advice with Coop on the Cocktail Nation.
The RSVP. It means, in English, respond, please. I would give you the French version, but I'm probably going to upset some French listeners. And a good friend of the Cocktail Nation, Mr. James Spencer, who likes to rib me about my poor French. He always says, I know, Coop, you say you want to retire to Monaco, but how on earth are you going to do that if you can't speak French? Well, I don't have to worry about that, James, because everybody speaks English there. And when I speak French, at least they'll find me funny. Now, the RSVP, very important. It's an important phrase when it's on an invitation. It means that the host or hostess is requesting the invitee to let them know whether or not they plan to attend the event. It's important for planning. If you attend an event that you're formally invited to, don't think that not RSVPing is the same as declining. It's just air. And don't RSVP the last minute for an event that actually involves real planning by the host. It's very rude and disrespectful. Don't RSVP for an event, then not show. That's quite rude. Now, you're just being not only rude, but also costing the host money, and you've probably kept some lonely soul from being invited as a backup. So don't do that. The RSVP, respond, please. The please is probably the key. Let's take a look at the World of Swank now. And we've got a stack of events on right across the globe for you to check out. Here's a couple. Plenty on the website, of course, cocktailnation.net for you to check out. But the 6th annual Tiki Day is coming up, October the 1st for 2017. And if you'd like some more details, we've got them, of course, up on the website, but it is being held over at Disneyland. Swing and Pedestrians playing Saturday, April 8 in Las Vegas. And April the 2nd, Surf and Sundays concert series in Huntington Beach. Tiki Aki 5-0, the Tiki Creeps, Curl Riders, Neptune Cocktail, just to name a few. And Danny Heller has a special exhibition called Modern Leisure. It opens Saturday, April 8. It's running through to the 13th at the George Billis Gallery in Los Angeles. For these gigs and lots more, click on the World of Swank Gig Guide tab of the Cocktail Nation website. You'll find it all there. If you'd like to send me a gig, I would love to hear from you as well. Just follow the links on the website and get in touch. And I'd certainly be more than happy to put it up there, up on the website. Here's Swing Ahead and At the Strip.
The streetlights are diamonds in the blackness of night. There's laughter as somebody's starting a fight. Sophistication's washed away with the tides. It's a carnival of clubs instead of rides. At the Strip, we'll see the show at the Strip. I got some dough at the Strip. It's time to go, so I'll meet you there down at the Strip. The tramps in the corner love to twist and shout. Their perfume and smoke nearly knocks you out. The boys in the box singing Little Deuce Coupe. And there's a lady in the kitchen making hot dog soup. At the Strip, we'll see the show at the Strip. You got the dough at the Strip. You all gots to go. I'll meet you there down at the Strip. The doorman's got an audition in the morning. The band is late for the hit. The bartender's calling out a last call warning. I can't find a place to sit. The boys in the back are pitching cards. The chicks on the side smoking fat cigars. I'll see you there at a quarter to two. after I get my new tattoo. At the strip, we'll see the show at the strip. I got some dough at the strip. It's time to go, so I'll meet you there down at the strip. Man's got an audition in the morning. The band is late for the hit. The bartender's calling out a last call warning. I can't find a place to sit. The boys in the back are pitching cards. Chicks on the side smoking fat cigars. I'll see you there at a quarter to two, after I get my new tattoo. At the strip, we'll see the show at the strip. I got some dough at the strip. Come on, let's go. I'll meet you there down at the strip. I'll meet you there down at the strip. I'll meet you there down at the strip.
Do you find that you're kissing more but enjoying it less? Well, then just learn a few secrets from Bachelor in Paradise.
Shout it right from the treetops. No doubt about it, I'm in love. Bells ring, it's got that something. I'm sure of one thing, I'm in love. Flying, I feel like flying. I keep trying to reach the stars that hide you, angel. Please don't forsake me. Fly down and take me. I'm in love. Flying, yeah, flying. I keep trying to reach the stars that hides you, angel. Please don't forsake me. Fly down and take me. I'm in love. Yes, I'm in love. Look out. Yes, I'm in love. Straight ahead. Yes, I'm
Cocktail Nation with Buddy Greco, and I'm in love. We're in love with you, Buddy Greco. What a swinger he was. Sadly, only passing away just recently. Next week on the show, take a look at the Chicago Tiki Tour. We'll leave you with Don Rock now and Mombasa. Stay here.